Good morning. Okay, I open the Wellmere Municipal Utilities Commission meeting on Monday, November 13, 2017, at 11:45, according to the clock on my iPad. Bev, you've taken the Beth, excuse me, not Bev, Beth. Attendance here, okay.
Yes, I have.
Next thing is to approve our consent agenda. That would be any additions to the agenda that's been printed, and it's a really long one today, folks. And our minutes from our October 23rd meeting, and review and approve the payment of our bills. Do I hear a resolution for the agenda, for the consent agenda?
Second.
Motion made and second. Any further discussion?
Yes, Madam Chair, I have a quick question. on item number six, review and, you know, the minutes for the room, you know, the planning committee. I was looking at it and I haven't seen any minutes on that. Is there?
Yes.
Or do we just go by the documentation?
For the November 3rd?
Yeah.
Planning committee meeting?
Commissioner Mabu?
Yeah.
That was added this morning, so when you refreshed it, it should have shown up.
Oh.
Okay?
Okay.
You want to double check that? It should be listed there.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. Sure. No problem. If not, roll call, please.
Commissioner Magnuson?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Mabu?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
Holtz?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next item on our agenda is a public hearing this morning. The public hearing is on the proposed rate adjustments. The public hearing is held where members of the public can express their views and opinions. The purpose of the hearing is to allow anyone who wants to speak on the proposal to make comments regarding the rate adjustments. The commission will not be deliberating or discussing the proposal during the public hearing itself. Instead, the commission will simply listen to those who decide to speak. First, I just open it up and we listen to the questions, and then we close it before there's any discussion from the commission. We do limit it to 1 to 3 minutes, and then we will go to discussion of the resolution. Joel, is there anybody on the list this morning? Okay, being no members from the public here to comment on this rate adjustment, I will ask one more time, anyone here from the public to comment on this? Is here, and so I close the public portion of our meeting, the public hearing portion of our meeting regarding the rate adjustments. Next, then, since it does pertain to our resolution that relates to our approval of these rate adjustments and the additions and of the city franchise fee, I would like to read through this resolution so that if anything comes up, and at that time then afterwards we will have any discussion from the commissioners. A resolution to recommend that the Wellmere City Council impose of an intergovernmental transfer fee on utility bills and implement utility rate adjustments for 2018 and 2019. Whereas, pursuant to Section 4.05, Subdivision 2G of the Wellmere Charter, the Wellmere Municipal Utilities Commission has the power and responsibility to recommend to the Wellmere City Council, after holding hearings, rates to be charged for water, electricity, hot water, heat, and any other utility services sold by the Commission. And whereas Wellmere Municipal Utilities commissioned a rate study that was completed by Dave Berg Consulting LLC in 2014, which study recommended rate increases that have not to date been implemented in the amount of 3% in 2016, 3% in 2017, and 3% in 2018 for electrical, and 10% in 2017 and 10% in 2018 for water, all in order to continue providing the high quality of service expected by Wyoming Municipal Utilities customers. And whereas the commission duly noticed and conducted a public hearing on its proposed rate adjustments for 2018 and 2019 as detailed here and at the commission's regular meeting on November 13, 2017, and whereas pursuant to section 2.12 subdivision 1E of the Wilmer Charter, the City Council has a power and responsibility to regulate the rates charged for utility services by the commission and the city by ordinance. Whereas the commission pays an intergovernmental transfer fee to the city annually in an amount equal to $7.70 a megawatt, in addition to certain other contributions to the city, such as wastewater costs and street lighting, which fees and costs have the effect of increasing the rates charged for the utility services provided by the commission. And whereas after careful consideration, the commission believes the interests of transparency would best be served by separating the cost to the commission of the intergovernmental transfer fee and other contributions to the city out of the utility rates, and instead imposing a separate city franchise fee charge on each utility bill issued by the commission, which fee would mitigate the need to implement the full amounts of the rate increases recommended by the 2014 Dave Berg Consulting LLC rate study. And whereas the commission further believes the existing billing charge fee on utility bills, which has been referred to as a customer charge in previous ordinances establishing utility rates, will be more accurately described as a fixed cost fee, and that the commission supports making that change on future utility bills. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Wilmer Municipal Utilities Commission that, one, the commission recommends to the City Council that a city franchise fee be added to all utility bills consisting of kWh kilowatts sold per month divided by the intergovernmental transfer street lighting and wastewater costs incurred by the utilities. The commission recommends to the City Council that the, the commission recommends to the City Council that the existing billing charge fee on utility bills, which has been referred to as a customer charge in previous ordinances establishing utility rates, be renamed as a fixed cost fee. Number three, the commission further recommends to the City Council that the rates for water service provided by the commission be increased from existing rates by 5% effective January 1, 2018, and an additional 5% above such 2018 rates effective January 1, 2019. And number four, the commission further recommends that the City Council adopt the ordinance attached hereto as Appendix A and incorporated herein by reference, implementing the intergovernmental transfer fee, water rate adjustments, and remaining of the customer charge as a fixed cost fee detailed in paragraphs 1-3 above. I make the resolution to accept this and would look to accept this resolution for the increase in the rates.
Madam Chair, if I could suggest that we close the public hearing before we move into...
Did I forget to say that?
We need a motion to close the public hearing before we can act on the resolution.
I thought I could just do that. All right. Well, there, now the public hearing, anybody that would be listening in on this also knows what the resolution says. And so I look for a motion to close the public hearing at this time.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Got that done. All right. Do you want me to read through this again? Oh, no, that's right. It was for everyone, the commissioners as well as the public and staff. So with this resolution, as you can see, let me just get this up here. There was included in our notes for commissioners the electric rate adjustment, the water rate adjustment, and then some sample billings on there as well. So bearing those in mind for this rate adjustment. And then also in your packet was the ordinance for the rate amendments that was addressed in this resolution as well. So at this time, again, we can look through those. If there's any questions to it after the motion, a resolution second, we can open up for discussion. So I will, again, in the right order, move for the resolution for the rate increase and have a look for a second, please.
Second.
The resolution has been made and second, and now I open for discussion by the commission.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Thank you. Just speaking real briefly on behalf of the Planning Committee, we did meet about a week ago, and the Planning Committee does recommend that we proceed with this. We had talked about some initial direction on how we were going to move forward with this, and we do suggest that we approve this as an official group. One question that I would maybe ask John for clarification is, we had discussion at the end of that meeting, we had talked about how we would actually implement the rates moving forward so that we wouldn't have to come back to the city every time we were looking for a change. Could you maybe talk a little bit towards that point, John?
Commissioner Bannerman, yes, we've been working with Mr. Scott regarding that, and let me just bring up the ordinance, and we'll start with the resolution. Second page on the resolution, how we address that, based on a directive from the Planning Committee, is item number one, the Commission recommends to the City Council that a city franchise fee be added to all utility bills consisting of kWh sold per month divided by the intergovernmental transfer plus street lighting and wastewater costs incurred by WMU. And if you roll into the ordinance that we're proposing for the city to adopt, if we go to the last page, section 6, there it's stated that there shall be added to all utility bills a city franchise fee consisting of kWh sold per month divided by the intergovernmental transfer, street lighting, and wastewater costs incurred by WMU. So what does that mean? The utility will take costs incurred. I'll use this year as an example, 2017, look at kilowatts sold in 2017, arrive at the rate, and hold that rate constant for 2018. At the end of 2018, again, by ordinance, by a resolution, we'd go back, look at kilowatts sold, look at costs incurred, and then adjust that fee again for next year to recoup our costs. So, Commissioner Matter, does that address your question?
It does. Thank you, John. I guess just for clarification for everybody, what we are looking at is roughly that $3.1 million collected in the first year, which is what we had discussed at the joint meeting. And then the way that this would be implemented, the way the adjustments would be made year to year, would be kind of like how we handled the EAA, so that we wouldn't have to go back to the City Council every time to make an adjustment. So I just wanted that clarity out there for the full commission and the public to understand. Thank you.
Madam Chair and members of the Commission, I apologize for interrupting, but I was just looking at the resolution and ordinance, and John, I had sent an updated resolution and ordinance that tried to get a little more specific about the manner of calculating the franchise fee. It was very late on Friday, so maybe just didn't get to the packet, but I had suggested some more specific language after talking with John and Denise on how that would be calculated for each customer's bill. And I just wondered, John, is the intent to include that updated language that I sent late Friday in this resolution? And does the commission have that most updated language?
Well, Mr. Scott, I am looking right now.
And maybe while you're looking, I can just, this is not that complicated, but I can probably read what you would come up with. So if you look at paragraph 1 on the second page of the resolution, and this language would be mirrored in the ordinance as well, but as far as the language for the franchise fee, what paragraph 1 would say would be, the commission recommends to the city council that a franchise fee be added to all utility bills to be calculated by applying a rate to be determined by dividing the total kilowatt hours sold by WMU annually by the total intergovernmental transfer, street lighting, and wastewater costs incurred by WMU for the preceding calendar year to each customer kilowatt-hour billed monthly for the next 12-month period. So it comes up with a formula that would be applied for each for each specific bill. And I think that's consistent with what I think you have in your packet right now. It's just perhaps providing a little more detail on the way that would be calculated.
Mr. Scott, this is John. You're absolutely correct. We do not have the latest version in our packet here. We're one version behind in our packet. So as you stated, the latest version would have that in. So before Commissioner Romer signs our resolution, we'll need to get the resolution updated from what's in the packet.
Okay, thank you. I just want to make sure everyone was aware of the development of that language.
Appreciate you catching that.
Do we have to redo it? We don't have to redo that resolution just because it's a language cleanup kind of explanation.
Correct. We can, Mr. Scott can comment on, but we can adopt this resolution with the updated language as presented from Mr. Scott here.
Okay.
Both for our resolution as well as the ordinance, because they need to be changed in both.
And just so that, again, for the public that would potentially listen to this, as Justin did mention, we did have that combined meeting that will show up later on our agenda as well with the city. Any other comments from anyone regarding this resolution? It does put the city franchise fee in there, and as per our discussion at that meeting, it's all the first year rather than separating it out. So if there's no further comments, would you take roll call, please, Beth?
Commissioner Romer?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Nabu?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
Holtz?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
Thank you.
Next up is the Labor Committee. It met on October 23rd, and I was absent, and so Nate got to run that meeting. If you could report, please.
Labor Committee met on Monday, October 23rd, at 4:45 p.m. There was a pre-meeting to discuss our strategy for going into negotiations for the following day on Tuesday, October 24th, for labor negotiations for contracts with the union, Local 160. It's just a finalized meeting to go over what we had planned to propose. Both the union and the labor committee had presented initial contract proposals to each of the entities for review and to make the process go a little quicker. Since Carol was absent then, we had designated John to lead negotiations on Tuesday, and we adjourned shortly after determining that process. So, Madam Chair, I would look for a motion to approve the minutes.
I'll second that.
Motion has been made and second to approve the Labor Committee meeting minutes. Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. And to that end, I just want to say a good job to everybody for us to get this done this early. It's like we're setting a record here. For the labor negotiations, it worked well, and I believe that obviously the employees under the union members are very happy with it as well. Next on our agenda then, as you can see, is the labor agreement that we arrived at with, of course, the biggest thing always, it seems, is the wage increase, and you can see where it's the 2.5 for 18, 2.75 for 19, and 2.75 for 20. The fact that we got a three-year contract was a good thing as well. We got plenty of other things going on. We'll make sure that everyone's taken care of. So I would look for a, let's see, that requires a resolution, doesn't it? Because we're spending some money. So I'll make the resolution to accept the SLOBO agreement that's been approved by EACH at this time, and then if there's a second.
I'll second.
Any further discussion? Okay. Please take roll.
Commissioner Mattern?
Aye.
Mabou?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
Holtz?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye.
Commissioner Lahmer?
Yes.
I'd like to make one comment here regarding the contract with the union, which will also carry over to non-union. Through those negotiations, due to the increase in our health insurance, the union had or is supporting has concurred to change our health insurance companies at beginning the first of the year. We will be looking at switching from Blue Cross to Health Partners. Blue Cross Blue Shield was at an 18% increase. Health Partners, we ended up just under a 6% increase. So union supporting that change. So thank you.
You're welcome. Good. And those are all going to affect January 1, and as you mentioned, union and non-union.
Health insurance? Yes. Actually, we'll be calling for another planning committee to address non-union wages here before the end of the year. So we need to address non-union and have the labor committee make a recommendation to the commission as a whole for adjustments for non-union as well, which in that package will also consist of health insurance change.
Next on the agenda is a planning meeting on October 27th. They had a brief meeting, and I would ask Justin just to give a report on that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Staff and Commissioner Lahmer and I met briefly. That was on Friday, October 27th, to run through a pricing contract with Connect Energy. This is the group that would fulfill, hopefully, firm gas availability and pricing for us. We were looking for a long-term contract, but there was some language within the contract that we weren't comfortable with. Specifically, after the attorney's review, the problem we were having was with the limited liability that Connect Energy was trying to pursue. So after some discussion and kind of back and forth between their attorney and ours and some discussion with the manager, we agreed that we would get a contract in place for this year or this season, and then from there we would look at potentially renewing that or what we would need to do moving forward. So with that, I believe, I guess I had to run before the final contract was sent, but I believe we did get a final contract, and that's what's in our packet for today, which includes pricing for this season. Is it a 5-month for the winter season, John? So that's the contract that we'll be looking at pursuing. And I guess our recommendation is that we do pursue this for this particular season or this year, and then we'll look at further discussion in terms of long-term renewal and what that would look like. John, anything to add to that at all? Or?
No. Commissioner Mattern, very nice job of summarizing the process. The only thing to open up or to close, maybe a loop here, is CenterPoint. Earlier we had discussions. We had brought before the commission that we were working with CenterPoint. CenterPoint, when it came down to it and it was time to execute contracts, were unable to deliver. Things have changed on CenterPoint's side, so they referred us over to Connect Energy, which led to that special meeting so that we could enter into those contracts while they had pipeline firmed up with Northern Natural. So this is in replace of our prior discussion with entering into a firm contract with CenterPoint.
So I look, I'll make the motion that we would approve these meeting minutes that were just at that brief meeting. So I'll make the motion to approve.
Second.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, and to that end, we just need a formula to approve the gas contract with Connect Energy, as John explained how we got to that point with the ability to supply the gas for us for the year. And including in our packet is the master agreement. Lots of legal jargon there, and as you can see in there, it goes from November 1st of 2017 to March 31st of 2018. Again, hopefully we can get that limited liability, but we have questions between the two parties to get that straightened out so it's satisfactory to both. So that's the main thing that was in there, and as you can see, we did sign it, but do look for a formal approval of it at this meeting, and then also the proposed pricing is included in there. So I would look for a resolution to approve the gas contract with Connect Energy.
So moved. Second.
Resolution is moved. Second, to accept the gas contract with Connect Energy. Any further discussion? Justin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess just for everybody's clarity and knowledge, the reason that this kind of got pushed through so quickly was that due to the timing of this, we had to get the contract signed and in place, or we were at risk of losing this particular contract and pricing. So since we were looking at firming this up for the year, we felt that it was urgent that we call that meeting and get things moving forward. And so that's why that took place.
Okay. Any other comments? Hearing none, please take roll.
Commissioner Mabul?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
Holtz?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, next on the agenda is the combined meeting that we had, the commission with the city council members. And again, that was a meeting that was follow-up after one of the work sessions with the city council, that they wanted a little bit more explanation on the city franchise fee and what was going on with that. And in our packets today is a fairly well explained all the discussion points that we had there, and I'm not going to read through all of those. As to the questions and things that were listed there, there was a lot of discussion about the franchise fee and how we should go about it. And as you can see in the resolution, it is for start out for it to be made at the 1 year will be listed on everyone's bill accordingly, and the fixed cost rather than billing charges added onto it. It was a good meeting. It was scheduled for 2 hours, and we ended it right on time. Answered lots of questions at that meeting, and I would just state that the conclusion to that meeting was that two memorandum of understandings were to be created, shared, and finalized. The rest of the data discussion was for the information only, and future discussion will continue as warranted. And general manager hearing will always make time to further discuss any issues or concerns related to the utility in the city. And thank you to the efforts of everyone to make Wilmer a better community to live and work in. And thank you to Mayor Kelvin, City Administrator Holland, and City Council members for their attendance and input. Again, there were 10 different items on that agenda, and the most discussion, of course, was with the city franchise fee, and then from there we went on to the other topics. Again, answering questions that have to do with what's going on, kind of for our information. The biggest ones on the two MOAs. I would like John to just explain a little further on those, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. At the conclusion of the joint meeting, Mr. Holland and myself were asked to pull city staff and utility staff together to continue forward in developing
those two memorandum of agreements. Since that meeting, city staff and utility staff, we've had one meeting. We're very close to wrapping up the memorandum of agreement for intergovernmental transfer. We were waiting on the language that was going to be carried forward in our resolution and ordinance. We have that now from Mr. Scott. So we'll be sending this back to the city for their review, and if everyone concurs, then we'll have it here in front of the commission for approval, as well as the city staff will be taking it to the council for approval on the city side. On the water main, memorandum of agreement for water main, we have quite a bit more work to do on that. That memorandum is more involved. We have more open-ended items that we need to work through. A number of more of the Y project, the water mains, the fire hydrants. So we're pulling together more information regarding those items that are being addressed in that memorandum of agreement. So that one's a little further out. Any additional questions or comments?
Okay. We will approve the minutes from that meeting. I'll make the motion to accept those minutes as printed.
Second.
Motion made and second to approve the minutes from the combined meeting. Any further discussion? Good. Any comments, wrong, added to, subtracted from? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same. Motion carries. Thank you. Next on our agenda is Justin regarding the planning committee that they had on November 3rd.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Planning committee met on Friday, November 3rd at 12 p.m. First item for our discussion was the Priam substation update. We were informed that the preliminary planning for that substation has been completed, and we're ready to proceed with going ahead and authorizing the final agreement with DRG to complete the design and move forward with the project. It was noted that there was just a couple of changes since the original preliminary plan was put together. They relate to primarily the Benson Power Plant being shut down and how that's going to impact just kind of the grid overall in that area. And then secondly, there was a 69 kV line that we were looking at putting through there that's going to be upgraded to 115 kV. That was already in the plan for a five to 10 year plan, but that's been pushed up to a 3 to 5 year plan. So we're gonna proceed with that. That did modify costs just a little bit, and we'll take a look at that as we get into the agreement that we're gonna be approving a little bit later. And I'll ask Jaron a little later on to further describe taking into that as well. But our recommendation is that we proceed with having DGR go ahead with that contract as well. Next item for update was the annual cybersecurity penetration test. It's the recommendation of staff that we proceed with NetSpy, which is the organization that did the penetration test last year. The price is actually the same. The test worked out quite well last year. And we did discuss if there was any issues that needed mitigation, we would take care of those, and they would rerun the scan to follow up and make sure that those mitigations took place as they should. The one thing that was noted was that the Department of Homeland Security offers a free test. We don't know exactly how that compares, and their wait list is 12 to 18 months, but that is something that we're going to look at trying to pursue for next year, see if that test would compare and if that would work for us, if we can get on their list. But our recommendation is that we do proceed with this test with NetSpy and that agreement that will be brought forward a little bit later. From there, we had a number of operation policies that were updated and that we reviewed. First one that we actually took a look at was something that's brand new that we're looking at doing, which is a self-evaluation form for the commission. This is something that the APPA strongly suggests that we do, and so we took a look at a base form that they offer and kind of built something based off of that. What we took a look at, there was just a few minor, I guess, wording adjustments that we suggested, and those have been brought forward and now are in our packet, and we'll be requesting and recommending that we move forward with that as well. From there were four other policies that were updated: the investing policy, the purchasing policy, the emergency plan, and the schedule of charges. Most of the changes within these policies were verbiage. One thing to note is on the emergency plan itself is kind of a living document. So as staff changes, as there's additional changes here within the organization, that's updated on an as-needed basis by staff. And then we review that from time to time and just make sure that everything is up to par there. The only real other change to note on the schedule of charges is that on some of the equipment on individuals' homes or businesses, if some of that's damaged, we have not always been charging them for the replacement of those, and we are now adding in a charge for some of that equipment if there's damage that needs to be addressed. So again, after review of all the documents, we are recommending that we go ahead and approve those changes. From there, we went into discussion on rate adjustments. Pretty much everything that we covered there has been already addressed today and what we took care of earlier in our rate adjustment. And our recommendation was, as I previously noted, to do that, which we have done. From there was just a couple other miscellaneous updates. One was, again, a little bit further discussion on how we would calculate those rate adjustments. And then Commissioner Raboub brought up a couple of ideas. One is regarding our mission statement and making sure that that's consistently and constantly available in all of our materials. That's something that staff is going to be looking at adding. And then the second was for the language translation that's currently on the website. It's using the free Google Translate, and as he's pointed out and we've heard from others, that isn't always terribly accurate, so we're looking at possibly doing a full translation of our website and making that available. With that, we adjourned at 1:30 p.m., and I would stand for any questions. There are none. I would make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Motion made and second to approve the meeting minutes of November 3rd of the Planning Committee. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. And along with that, we have some motions for approval, and the first one up would be the consulting regarding designs for the Priam substation. And we'll let Mr. Joyne discuss that with us in a little more detail.
Thanks, Madam Chair. As you're informed, we brought this to the Planning Committee and basically gave them an update that the Priam substation design work is still on schedule. We finished up the preliminary design. I was very happy with DGR services in that. I also got positive feedback from the other utilities, Great River Energy and Xcel Energy, that the way they handled and prepared materials for the meetings between all of us went quite well, and it was just very effective the way DGR has been handling the preliminary design. With that in mind, they submitted their fees for the remaining design and bidding phase. Those were presented to you in your packets here, and it's my recommendation that we authorize DGR to proceed with the next phase of design. So I'd be happy to answer any questions on that if you have them.
Chair?
Yes, Commissioner Madden.
Jaron, thank you for the update on that. If I could have you maybe just talk a little bit more about the 115K line, who owns that, and why we're looking at kind of pushing the timeline on that and how that plays into this a little bit.
Yes, Commissioner Madden, I can discuss that. There was a 50-megawatt power plant in Benson that's scheduled to shut down in 2018. That provided a good amount of support for our region here. And with that shutting down, area utilities are looking at how to make up for that loss. And one of the future plans was to bring a 115 line from the new Priam substation to Wilmer so that it would connect to our 230 KV line. With the Benson Power Plant shutting down, they've decided that that's a good solution to help make up for that loss. And so they've moved that from the kind of the 10-year plan to the 3 to 5 year plan. With that in mind, our preliminary design for Priam included an expansion for the second 115 KV line, but we've decided we're actually going to build the foundations, the steel, and connect that second 115 line in this initial phase. And so there's extra expenses that weren't planned for this first phase that will come into play with that. Does that answer that question?
Yeah. Thank you, John.
Okay.
other questions, otherwise I would accept a motion for authorization for the consulting services for the final design for the Priam substation.
Hold on for that motion.
Second.
Motion made and second to accept the professional services agreement for the Priam substation. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. And then the next thing that gets us all really nervous is cybersecurity out there. And Mr. Sandgren, if you'd talk a little bit on that, please.
Good afternoon. As Commissioner Mattern spoke, we're looking to use NetSpy again this year. And it was my original intent to go with a different vendor this year. But as staff and I spoke, we thought it would be wise to use the baseline from last year's to a new one this year, so we're comparing apples to apples. The reason I guess we're here is that since I was using, or planning to use a different vendor, NetSpy was not put on our pre-approved vendor list, being over $5,000. So I just recommend that we use NetSpy again this year. After working with them, they're trustworthy, very available. They got a website that you can follow along with their progress. And still, just back to the basics of the League of Minnesota Cities recommending them for our first test. So, and the price is still right. So, and it's basically performing the same test as last year. So.
Just a question, this is just for my information. What's, when we're doing this test, what's your involvement?
My involvement is kind of taking a back seat. I give them some of the information they need regarding IP addresses and stuff like that. And then 2 days, they try to get into our system. So I just sit back and wait till they perform the test, and then they'll contact me and say, yes, we got in, no, we didn't, or...
Okay.
So it's, yeah, really I don't have much involvement.
Yeah, just a curiosity question on my part to see what they did. Any questions of Mr. Sandman? If not, I make a motion to accept the agreement to conduct the annual cybersecurity test with NetSpy of Minneapolis.
Second.
Motion made and second to accept the annual security test agreement. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, motion carries. Okay. When we come to the fun part of the agenda, and I'll ask Mel to just do a summary of all the changes to our policies.
Madam Chair, thank you, and I'm assuming you want it short and sweet.
Push out the differences.
Okay, before you have a schedule, and I had started this a couple years ago, just identifying the changes within each policy, because we get to some of these policies, they're 70 and 80 pages, and I just try to highlight the changes, what was added, what was deleted. So on the first page you have is the review of the policy, and I have all our scheduled dates each year when they're approved, work in progress, so we can at least follow where we're going with them. And so far we're clicking right along. But the biggest changes we had this time was in our operations policy, and I worked with Joel, and we went back and forth quite a bit on with the district heating, getting this policy and the procedure updated within that. And so the effect on this operations policy was that section of this policy went from 10 pages down to 2. So that was a positive. And then the other items were pretty much just minor. Some were just grammar. Just not too much within that operations policy. Then we moved on to the investment policy, which Denise and John, if you have any words on that, because you guys put that together.
Basically, we reviewed the policy and compared it to our statutes, made sure that we were aligned with our statutory requirements, changed some of the wording, updated some of the terminology, and that was the biggest part of the change. It maybe made some clarifications in there.
I was glad to see that, because that was one of the things at some of that conference, that when we were talking about responsibilities of a commission was to oversee the investment and, you know, more questioning and that. And I didn't think that was the right way to go. I mean, we need to hear, but we're not investment experts, so I'm glad to see that that policy is there explained.
Okay. Then the next one we moved on to was a purchasing policy. It was just a spelling correction in that one. And then the last one is our emergency plan, which, as Justin explained, that's a living document. And I have it linked to other documents within our system. So as personnel changes or contact information changes or commission changes, and those documents are updated, it automatically will update our emergency plan. And if we make any changes within our plan, that will be brought before you. But as far as all the links and everything, so it's just automatically updated all the time. And then one other item was pointed out at that meeting, and that was potentially putting on our mission statement on the documents. And I would like to incorporate that into all of our policies, the mission statement and then a clarification statement on the updating of them, if that is acceptable, and why we'll have that on the next policies. And they will be added onto these if these are approved.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Janelle. For a motion to approve the updated policies.
So moved. Second.
Motion made and second to approve the updated revisions to the policies, operations policy especially. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. And we're on to the self-evaluation, and since you had discussion with that, Commissioner Manning, would you like to review that in detail with us a little bit?
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair. In our packets, we do have the Commissioner self-evaluation form that we reviewed. I was just double-checking for one of the wording changes, and I think we've got everything in there that we were concerned about. My hope is that everybody here has had a chance to kind of quickly review this. The Planning Committee does recommend that we go ahead and pursue this. I don't know if you guys want more time before we vote on this, but we're comfortable with recommending that we go ahead and get this in place for probably the end of this year is when this would actually take place for us. John, I'm not sure on this particular document if you had any other things that you wanted to point out that were maybe changed from our last discussion or that should be brought out by chance.
Commissioner Mannard, the recommendations from the Planning Committee have been incorporated, and also Mr. Scott has reviewed and recommends adopting as it is presented here today. One of the main changes that the Planning Committee requested be changed was our committee structure within this document, that we are referred to as ad hoc committees versus standing committees as it was presented at the Planning Committee meeting. So otherwise, everything's been incorporated and reviewed by Mr. Scott.
Okay. Again, I'll make the motion to approve this self-evaluation. Is there a second?
Second that.
Okay, discussion. And I would just say, yes, to me, I've read through it and it looks good and done work on it, that I would say it's give it a try the way it is. And unless there's something that someone wants to disagree on it, let's go ahead and use it for this first time around, and if we can always make changes as we go forward. Any other discussion points? Bruce, you did the webinar this summer too that encouraged this type of thing.
Encouraged by APPA that we're
board go through some type of self-evaluation at least once a year or so. See where our strong points are, where poor points are, weak points are at, and try and do the best we can.
Okay. Any other comments? Hearing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. On to, and just for a little clarification, will you get that out to us and send it in, that we have to return it to them? How the procedure is going to take place, I guess.
Madam Chair of the Planning Committee, that part, implementation piece, was not discussed or vetted out with a recommendation, but we can put it on the next Planning Committee unless there's a recommendation from the Commission as a whole on how to proceed. But yes, those are the wishes of the Commission here today. We could push out the evaluation form. It could be returned back to the office. We could tally up everybody's responses and then bring it back before the Commission at a later Commission meeting to further discuss. So we can do it multiple different ways, I guess.
Unless there's objection, I would say we could go ahead and do that. Send it out rather than having to call another meeting of the Planning Committee, but you like that?
Madam Chair, we'll do that. And staff will push it out, and we'll tally up the responses from everyone once we receive them back, and then we'll bring it back in front of the Commission. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Next is our energy acquisition adjustment. And Manager Chris Carlson, please, if you would update us on that.
Thank you. So the purpose of EAA, which is the Energy Acquisition Adjustment, is to allow for changes to the retail rates to account for increases or decreases in power acquisition costs that are outside of our control. The use of an EAA reduces the need for frequent adjustments in rates to account for uncontrollable power supply related expenses. Okay, so a year ago, staff recommended to the Planning Committee that an EAA would be implemented due to the $2 million deficit on recovering power supply expenses. On November 14th, 2016, the Commission approved a 4 mil EAA to begin with the December 2016 billing cycle. Since then, over $940,000 has been collected through the EAA. Last year, the Planning Committee requested that we review the EAA close to year end with the goal of restoring the EAA back to a normal range by December 2017. So we are going to review this at the next Planning Committee meeting. But looking at the attachment, you'll see that the projected in the tan orange color, those are the amounts that were projected over a year ago. And the blue is the updated amounts, but nothing is final yet because August and September has not been closed yet. So those numbers are going to be pretty close. So if you look at the green on the right, that is the actual amount of the EAA that has been collected over these past months. And so down below it says EAA recovered through September is $940,000. Now, we have already billed October, so that would add approximately another $100,000. So if you look at the graph below, you can see that back on that red line, that's where we started charging the EAA back in December 2016. And as the months progress, you can see how we have been gradually making up that difference. And if you look at September, you can see we're just above the zero mark. So does anybody have any questions on that? And like I said, so we will be reviewing that with the Planning Committee at our next meeting.
Okay, so I'll get into that. So if it keeps going the way it is, there will be a change in there, potentially.
We should be able to stop the EAA.
As we go forward.
Madam Chair, to expand on that a little bit, on the EAA, what the goal was back in November, as Chris alluded to when we were looking at our power supply deficit, was to implement that formula EAA with the hopes of by the first of the year that we would recover our losses on our power supply. The EAA from that point forward, starting the first of the year, then will actually follow our power supply costs, which is what we'll be bringing in front of the Planning Committee for further discussion. So there will still be an EAA, but based on our projections, as when we put budgets together, our EAA versus $1 million that we've picked up this year to recover our deficits, our EAA is projected to be at about $300,000 this coming year. Is that sound right, Chris? Somewhere in that vicinity is what's been budgeted. Yeah. So that's what we're budgeting is $300,000 on the EA. So there's about a $700,000 reduction in the EA or our power supply cost for 2018.
Okay. Well, that's good with everything else that's going on on the building. Thank you, Chris. And then the power supply report. And we'll let you speak to that, Michelle.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So for September, if you look at the power supply comparison sheet between September 2016 and 2017, September's power supply cost was $49.42 per megawatt hour. This is a 3.1% decrease from 2016. Few factors in that. Boiler 3 was down all days in September, so the cost of generation was just under $199,000 less than in 2016. This resulted in more energy purchases at $99,803 more than in 2016. And there was also an increase in transmission from 2016 of $39,183. Any questions on that? Okay, so looking right below on the budget versus actual bar graph, September's actuals were 8.7% lower than the budget for September. Note that the budget included generation for the entire month, when in fact we did turn boiler 3 off for September. Looking at the next graphs, we have the real-time LMP average in September, which was $20.71. This was 10 cents higher than in 2016. The day ahead LMP average was $21.02, which is 52 cents higher than last year. The gas prices in September were $3.75 a decatherm. October was at $3.68 a decatherm, and November is at $3.93 a decatherm. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you for the report. Then next to the wind turbine report, Mr. Fogadal.
Thank you, Madam President, Commissioners, for the opportunity to present this wind turbine report, even though it's not the possibly best production report that we've seen yet. I think, though, that we're past the horrible months of August and part of September, as presented here, and we're on the move upward. You can see that in August we had actually 0% availability for number 4, but this month they were both in the 60s. That's because these hydraulic issues that we ran into actually at the very end of July carried over into part of September, but we've gotten all those repairs done, and hopefully things will continue to improve from here on out. If you look at the graph, you can see that the lowermost line is 2017, but we're working and hoping for enough wind this year to get that back up off the bottom. On the second page of this report, we have the numerical total shown. And you can see that the odds are against us reaching our annual goal of 8 million kilowatt hours due to the low numbers in August and September, basically. But we do have a chance to have a decent year here if we have good windy fall the rest of the final quarter of the year. Also, in addition to this written report, I wanted to let you know that last week we had Missouri River Energy Services in to conduct an infrared and acoustic survey of both of the wind turbines. They actually go up in the nacelle while the turbine is running, and use their acoustic imager to capture heat images of all of the moving parts in the turbine to look for any hot spots, literally, in the electric components, and put microphones on all of the bearings while they're turning to listen for any bad noises. And so that I don't have the final report yet, but the initial verbal report that came back after the tests were done were that they found no problems. So looks like the turbines are still in good shape. You know, the problem we had with that hydraulics $150 contactor that caused many multiples of that in repair costs and labor and whatnot. So hopefully we can avoid that in the future. Toward that end, we're developing a purchase list right now for spare parts. I'm talking with the former DeWin technician, Chad Sander, this morning. He indicated that they're going to give us one more shot at purchasing spare parts out of their warehouse. So hopefully I can put together a good recommended spare parts list, bring it to management and your attention for hopefully for approval for purchase that we can put spare parts on our shelf. We also finally received just 2 weeks ago the wind turbine main breaker that I've been trying to obtain for several years, and was because they're made in Europe and Spain, very difficult. I finally found a supplier that could provide it. It arrived a couple of weeks ago. It looks good. This week, Sealing Electric is up here. Just started this morning on our semi-annual maintenance activities for the wind turbines. And so hopefully we'll be able to get our line department out to the wind turbines, and with the supervision of Chad Sander, replace the wind turbine breaker in T4, in Tower 4. Just for information, both of those breakers, the main breakers for the wind turbines, were replaced in 2013. You may recall that both wind turbines were down for 4 months because at that time they were under warranty, and it took that long for DeWind to get both of them replaced. They both failed within a month of each other. So that was at around 8,500 operations each. Every time the breaker opens and closes, it's called an operation, and they both failed at 8,500. Currently, our turbine 3 breaker is at 9,800 operation, and our turbine 4 is over 10,000. The plan is to put the new one in turbine 4, pull that one out, get it rebuilt, and put that one in number 3, pull out the number 3 breaker and have that rebuilt and keep it on the shelf for a spare. So that's all I have. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer any of them.
Thank you, Mr. Hogadon. Any questions? As windy as the leaves have been circulating around my yard, we should be generating all kinds of electricity from those things. Okay, thank you. And item number 9 on our agenda, maybe we could just jump over that. No, we won't jump over that. We are in receipt of a letter of resignation from Commissioner Holtz, as he had stated earlier in the year. I know he had stated, and he has made it official. And we'll be done with the council. His last date will be December 11th. So we will we'll save the party till that day, okay, Dan? And so then we'll have a vacant spot on the commission. So any suggestions that you may have, please forward those to Mayor Kelvin, because it is an appointed position, as we all know. In this vacancy, it's will be a two-year commitment to fill in for Commissioner Holtz's term.
Remainder of 1 year.
Madam Chair, there's one year remaining, so this appointment would be for 1 year. One year period.
Of the two-year time frame that was left. Sorry, I'm thinking in terms of three, and you said did one, but it's the other way around that you did it. Well, good thing not having a party until the 11th then. Okay, again, we thank you, Dan, for your time. We'll discuss more come December 11th. And on to the general manager's report, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Real quickly, on the iPads, I apologize for being a version behind on the resolution and ordinance. We'll update your iPads with the current. Looking at them, I have actually the final ones here with me. And actually, the therefore is the first, number one, and in the resolution, it's second, section six, that need to be updated from the information in your packet. So we'll load the updated ones, and we'll have Madam Chair sign the updated version as well, so that we have the correct resolution and ordinance prepared, and we will send those over to the city. Other than that, unless there's questions, that would conclude my report.
Okay, and it's just so it's listed, the items come up, the legal service and the legislative rally coming up next year. It's tax reform out there. It's an interesting times, I guess, what's going on. So I just encourage as many people as they could to try to make plans to attend that rally. It's interesting how much it does matter when you go to see the congressman where they work. Anything else to come before the commission today? There will be a planning commission will be in the future, is that correct from today's meeting, John?
Madam Chair, yeah, this is correct. There will be a planning committee and a labor committee meeting coming up here shortly.
Okay.
We don't have either scheduled yet. We still have a number of things we need to work through in preparation for those meetings, but once we're there, we'll be sending out notices.
Okay. And again, I ask the commissioners to check with folks that you know or work with or in the community that you think would be a good commission member. Anything else to come before the commission today? Anything else in other topics before the commission? Meeting adjourned. Ooh, I didn't want that.
Well,
time
was very good.
It's good considering that you've been